Hey, what's going on, everybody? I hope you guys are doing well. My name is Dr. Boyce Watkins, and welcome to DrBoyceTV.com, the home for intelligent Black people. It turns out that Lizzo just announced that she is going to quit music forever. Now, before you start cheering, I'm going to give you some insights into this. I had some experience dealing with the Lizzo mob, and I am going to just, dig in and double down a little bit and give some context, though, in terms of why I think Lizzo walked away from music. And what this really says in terms of the way music, the music industry, hip hop and beyond, really, really, really uses Black people in such a terrible way. So get comfortable, buckle up the seatbelt, hit the thumbs up button. We're going to get started on DrBoyceTV.com right now.
Here we are, clan the isms, cataclysm, great. Our people out here struggling, trying to make it in this state. Everybody out here doing it, but we the ones who late. Now family, we the ones who gotta delegate. Get that money and the power, never be fake. Stick to cosign for three, what did he say? Create jobs, support our own. Educate the same and buy back your home. Got 3 degrees, triple 10. 3 PhDs, now we on the CNN. DBTV, let's talk about negligence. Ignorance is blissful, we can turn into intelligence. Please, none of what you hear, half of what you see. Let's break it down here on Dr. Boyce TV.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome to DrBoyceTV.com, the home for intelligent Black people. My name is Dr. Boyce Watkins. Let me know if you guys can hear me okay. Give me a quick yes if you can hear me. Hit the thumbs up button. Let me know what city you're from. I see you, Raquinas, DDS, the good brother. You're always here, and I appreciate you so much. He's a moderator. So anybody coming here trolling, you chop them down, brother. Thank you so much for guarding the platform. I love you, and I appreciate you. Rashad Boyd out of Baltimore. Trees. Hello, Trees. Shout out my Etsy shop. Is that Conscious Creations? Is that what it is with the 8 in there? There we go. I'm putting your comment on the screen. All right. And also, if you have a Black-owned business, if I see it, I'll shout it back. Jason's in Los Angeles. Don't forget that in LA on April 19th, we are doing a summit for anybody that wants to learn stock options. If you want to learn about stock options, we're going to be in LA April 19th and 20th, and I'm going to show you stock options. I sat with a brother this afternoon who had a little bit of money saved in his home equity. And when he walked out of there, I literally showed him how to increase his cash flow annually by $300,000. I'm not making this up. I have a PhD in finance. I have proof. I have hundreds of students that will testify that this stuff actually works. So if you want to take a look and be a part of what we're doing here in the Black Business School, which is revolutionary, go to stockoptionssummit.com, or you can also just text the word stock to 87948. If you text stock to 87948, I'll send you a list of AI stocks that I have, as well as some other information. I promise you, it will change your life. We're not here to mess around. All right, so anyway, guys, let's get into it. Let's get it cracking. So the reason that I love to talk about money is because money is the motive for a lot of buffoonery and ratchetry and ridiculousness that we see in terms of what our people are forced to do in order to get a dollar. Lizzo is one of these people where I really hated the fact that I had to bring up Lizzo on my platform. I hate the fact that I have to talk about this poor lady. I had no interest in dogging out a young Black woman. That is not my goal. But Lord Jesus, when you make it so hard, because you just when you're out here and somebody, some Mr. Charlie somewhere, you got your little Clive Davises out here that will pay Black folks to just act a damn fool, to embarrass ourselves, to make ourselves look ridiculous. And I feel like Lizzo's a victim of that. And the problem is that there consequences come with that. There's consequences when you allow people to make you into some subhuman cartoon version of who you're supposed to be. Lizzo, here's what Lizzo is to me. Lizzo is a beautiful young Black woman who can sing her booty off. She can really sing. I think she's extremely talented. I think she deserves the very best in terms of opportunity. She should be like Adele or something, just some classy woman who's out here singing her song and doing her thing. And instead, they got her out here twerking. They got her out here showing up to NBA games with her booty out. They got her out here simulating sucking a man's Johnson on national TV. They got her out here doing all kinds of crazy stuff. With that lawsuit, you saw that lawsuit she had where the workers that worked for her were basically saying that she was having them shoot objects and projectiles out of their sexual parts. Just stuff that's just kind of ridiculous, right? And I'm just going to tell you like this. My point is that, you got to remember there's a reason why racist white folks love to see you in that type of form. They love to see you out here acting a damn fool and embarrassing yourself and really looking ridiculous, setting the Black community backward, making us the clowns of the earth, And we do it. Why do we do it? What do you think is the number one motive behind all this ridiculous behavior? Why do you think people sell their souls and get in all this ditty type stuff? What do you think it is? Type the word in the chat. It's one word. It rhymes with honey. It rhymes with honey. What do you think the word is? So everybody type that word in the chat so we can know why this is what kind of conversation this is. Why a guy with a finance PhD will be talking about this topic. Because I want to say I have to start it here before I run into all these people to say you be hating, you just be attacking a young black woman. You just be hating on somebody. Well, the word is money. It's all about the damn money, and the money is the motive. The money is what drives people to just get into ridiculous stuff. You go into the Diddy white party. You're having them put objects in your booty, you know, because you're trying to fit in. You're trying to be cool. You're trying to hang out with the guy who's hanging out with the guy who's hanging out with the guy. I don't know what's going on with Diddy. I mean, that's another conversation. Diddy is part of that strand of black ridiculousness that started 30 years ago. And I'm gonna tell you what, I don't think it's inconceivable that he's working with the feds. I mean, anybody who's doing Epstein type stuff, who's got cameras in every room of his house, that's what the reports are saying, all these lawsuits and so that if he's got cameras in his house, why are you recording people getting freaky at your parties? Why are you doing that? Well, you're blackmailing people. Well, why would you blackmail powerful people? I don't know. Maybe it's because there are people who want to get legislation passed, and they know that if they told the senator, look, if you don't vote in favor of sending money to Israel or whatever it is we need you to do, we're going to reveal this video of you at a Diddy party getting freaky with your best friend. So really, the point of the matter is that the money ends up being a trap. And so with Lizzo, I see Lizzo and Diddy in a similar category in the sense that you have people that don't represent the black community in an appropriate way. And they are, because of money, out here just doing things that are just humiliating and things that are harmful. You know, and if you remember, how many of y'all remember? Give me a yes if you remember this. Hit the thumbs up button, by the way. Please hit the thumbs up button. How many of y'all remember when I had this controversy a couple years ago where I basically said, I hate the fact that Lizzo is promoting obesity to the black community when obesity is killing black people? How many of y'all remember that? And how many of y'all remember how the media, the white, mostly white media, literally just went berserk and wrote all these articles about me being this what the hell is it? Being this sexist and fat shaming and Lizzo claps back at fat shaming professor. Lizzo told him off. Lizzo done told him off. And I thought that was so fascinating. I said, wait, you're telling me that my comments, which really were designed to really protect this young lady, are somehow interpreted as me being a sexist fat shamer who hates black women, when I've been standing by black women more than some of y'all weak-ass men out here? There's a whole lot of weak-ass men that are dogging black women. I fight those men. I fight those. I argue with those guys. I tell them, like, look, be careful. When you talk about a black woman and you put their name in your mouth, put it there with some respect. Put it with it because your mama's a black woman. Your mama's a black woman. But here's the thing. You know, everybody want to call every black woman a queen. Well, I'm sorry. If everybody's a queen, then it means nothing to be a queen. If everybody's a queen, then being a queen means nothing. Because when you call every woman a queen, no matter what she's doing, you're disrespecting the queens in the community. Give me a yes if you get what I'm saying. You disrespect the queens when everybody's a queen. It's like having a race and you giving the trophy to the guy in last place. Well, what's the point in trying to run hard if everybody's going to get a first place trophy? Everybody ain't a queen. Everybody ain't a king. Some of y'all are engaging in anti-queen behavior. Some of y'all are engaged in anti-king behavior. I believe that you should earn the status of king or queen. So when I made that comment about Lizzo and I doubled down on it, let me tell you what happened. I had a speaking engagement. I was going to speak for a group of black folks down in Birmingham, the A.G. Gaston Society. And because their sponsors were probably a bunch of white corporations that don't like controversy, they canceled my speech. They canceled my speech. Now I still got paid half the money. I got $5,000 to do nothing, so I'm not complaining. And I'm financially secure, so it's okay. I can say what needs to be said. I'm not worried about losing a couple thousand dollars. But I remember thinking, this is so fascinating, that I spoke at that same event the previous year, and they loved me so much that they begged me to come back the following year, and I agreed to come back the following year. And because of white media putting pressure on them and their white corporate sponsors, there's that word money again, money, 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 because the money was going to get pulled from their event. That is, in my view, I believe that's the reason why they had to part ways with me. Because it couldn't be that you don't care about the fact that we're promoting obesity to black people. it couldn't be the fact that you have an issue with me saying that maybe we should not promote the things that are killing black people. I mean, think about how crazy it was. That one minute you got Lizzo out here, you know, shaking a booty everywhere, and they're promoting obesity like that's some type of body positivity. I know obese people. There's nothing positive about being so big that you might keel over from a heart attack. There's nothing positive about that. I have been obese myself. It is not fun. It ain't lit. That ain't the culture. But so you got this stuff being promoted to black folks on one hand, and they're telling you that this is a good thing. But then what happened in the pandemic? As soon as the pandemic started, what was the number one reason they told you to go get that jab? What was the number one reason they said that black people need to get it first? They told black people that we needed to get the jab first. Why? Well, because we have more instances of what in our community? Answer me in the chat. I want y'all to stay with me on this. We have more what? Obesity. Obesity. We are dying from obesity. So they're like, oh, no, you poor people, you poor black people, because of racism, you have obesity. And because you have obesity, we need all y'all to go out here and get your shot. But then at the same time, though, you're promoting obesity. The reason we're obese is because somebody told us that that's okay. That's not okay. That's not okay. All the obesity-related ailments, have you ever seen a list of obesity-related illnesses? I want you to tell me, as you hit the thumbs up button, let's do a quick little search. Let's see here. So if I was to list obesity-related illnesses, let's see what that comes. Let's see what comes up here. Tell me if you know any black people who suffer from any of these ailments. Okay, we're gonna play a little dead Negro quiz. All right. So do you know any black people that have heart disease? How many of y'all, give me a guess if you know a black person who has struggled with heart disease. Is heart disease or excess body fat, which can lead to an increase in blood pressure, cholesterol levels, and heart disease? So you have a lot more heart disease because of obesity. Do you know any black people that have heart disease? How many of y'all know a black person that's had a stroke? Anybody know any black people that have had strokes, Big Mom or something like that? How about diabetes? How many of you know a black person who has struggled with diabetes? You probably know about 12. How many of y'all know black people get cancer? They said being overweight or obese raises the risk of developing certain cancers, including breast cancer, colon cancer, and kidney cancer. How many of y'all know black people that have gallbladder disease? Or have you ever heard of that? Obesity can increase the likelihood of developing gallstones, osteoarthritis, sleep apnea. Anybody know black people that... Anybody know anybody that snores like that? Right? That's called sleep apnea. That you can die from that. Fatty liver disease, kidney disease, pregnancy problems, and mental health issues. I know y'all know some black people got mental health issues because half y'all crazy. We know that. I might be one of the crazy ones. I'm not even going to sit here and talk. But my point is to say that, you know, with Lizzo, that was the thing that concerned me, is that you have these record labels paying this poor girl money to go out and embarrass herself and embarrass the family and act like a damn buffoon. Well, what happens with that? Well, it didn't surprise me at all when I found out that Lizzo's very depressed. She's very, very depressed. She's very sad. She comes out in these extremes. One minute she's super, super confident and shaking that big booty and just coming wearing two-piece bikinis and everything, showing her confidence. But then the next minute she's talking about how depressed she is because of the way she's being treated, or maybe her size bothers her. I have no idea. And then on top of that, she's had consequences. She had that big lawsuit. Did anybody else see the lawsuit? This girl got sued by people that worked with her for having them do all kinds of things on stage that you shouldn't be doing with your employer. They forgot that when you are working with Lizzo, you are in a workplace, and workplaces have rules and laws. You can't have people sitting on stage forcing them to shoot projectiles out of their coochie as part of their job description. And that's what Lizzo was sued for. She was sued for by a lot of women because of the buffoonery. So not only did they get her to embarrass herself, they used money to get her to embarrass herself. They also got her sued. So this girl is getting attacked. So she issues this statement. I'm gonna share the statement. It was on my Twitter. And my Twitter's Dr. Boyce Watkins 1, Dr. Boyce Watkins is the number one. And on my Twitter, basically Lizzo said the following. She wrote this statement where she claims that she's quitting music. And I don't believe her, to be honest with you. I don't believe her. And I don't know if anybody remembers when Jay-Z used to, every year, he would say he was going to quit rapping forever. And this man's still rapping at 80 years old. So I don't believe she's really quitting. I think artists do this in order to get more attention or to reboot their career. Well, I think Lizzo's trying to take her seat back. She's trying to reclaim the victim seat. That's what she's doing. Because remember, she was seen as the perpetrator. She went from being the victim and the champion to being the perpetrator when she was being sued by people that worked for her, claiming that she abused them and had them doing all kinds of crazy stuff in the workplace. So here's what she says in her statement, and you can tell me what you think. She says, "I'm getting tired of putting up with being dragged by everyone in my life on the internet. All I want to do is make music and make people happy and help the world be a little better than how I found it. But I'm starting to feel like the world doesn't want me in it. I'm constantly up against lies being told about me for clout and views and being the butt of every joke every single time because of how I look. My character being picked apart by people who don't know me and disrespecting my name. I didn't sign up for this shit. I quit." Okay. So first off, I want to say that I hope that she, when she says the world doesn't want me in it, I'm deeply concerned about that statement because that does sound like a self-harm sort of statement. And if that's the case, then Lord, be it far from me to be the person that would ever want anybody to harm themselves or whatever. So I really hope she gets the help that she needs. I hope, you know, if it's a therapist, if it's a medication, if it's taking some time off, do all of that, right? So it's out of concern and respect. I want to just say that right there, right? So that's the first thing. But the second piece is, I'm going to tell you the truth. I think that this is a cry for sympathy. Remember, she just now performed at the fundraiser for President Biden, who loves to, again, they don't meet with Black leaders. They don't meet with intelligent Black people. They don't meet with people like Dr. Claude Anderson, but Biden will gladly meet with Lizzo. He'll gladly meet with strippers like Glorilla and Cardi B, who represent the stripper culture. He'll gladly meet with rappers. And that's one of the reasons why he'll never get my vote, because I'm not going to vote for somebody who thinks that the Black community is a big, nasty ass, ratchet ass, piece of shit, $2 community full of stripper hoes, rappers, ditties, and people like that. You're going to meet with Diddy, who is pretty much looking like the Black Epstein right now. You'll meet with Diddy and his vote or die campaign and all this other stuff, but you ain't got nothing to say to Black people that are out here really doing the work. You have nothing to say to the people that are activists in the community. You have nothing to say to the parents trying to raise strong families. You have nothing to say to Black folks that understand economics. You have nothing to say to Black people who have solutions for these urban problems that persist. You have nothing to say to those people, but you'll talk all day with Diddy. Well, why would you talk to Diddy? Oh, that's right, because Diddy is the guy who has a relationship with you that is far too close for me to be comfortable. The relationship to me, make the connection here. Diddy to me is interesting because if you consider this, think about this, y'all. Then a lot of people haven't talked about this, but why do you think Biden was? Remember, did anybody remember Diddy's vote or die campaign and how he was capping so hard for the Democrats? Like he was literally Mr. Like, I represent the Black community. And he would say, we as the Black community are going to do this, this and this. And then he would just sort of mislead Black people right off a cliff. He was basically the entertainment version of Al Sharpton. Remember the vote or die campaign, right? Well, you know, I heard Kanye, again, I spend a lot of time on the phone with Kanye. He's crazy about probably 30% of the time, but he's a genius a big chunk of the rest of the time. And he's observant about certain things. So even though Kanye and I did not necessarily mesh in every level, we did have some things in common. And I heard Kanye mention that he believes that Diddy kept himself out of jail by possibly doing work for federal authorities. Now, is this true or not true? I do not know. But I do know it's not inconceivable that you have a scenario where there's a guy who could easily go to jail. They could easily get charges on him. They could easily start raiding his properties and doing whatever they want to do to him. And then say, hey, we need you to do a favor for us. And that means we need you to become a de facto Black leader because we know Black people will follow rappers. Cardi B, same thing. Cardi B was facing a serious criminal charge at a certain time. And next thing you know, she's sitting there doing interviews with President Biden to get him reelected. I'm not saying that this is what's going on. I'm not saying I know these things for sure. I'm just telling you that the smell test tells me that there's something sinister happening. There's something sinister going on with the way music industry folks, black folks in the music industry, are used and manipulated for political purposes, right? It's not a coincidence that you have, you have Al Sharpton at the Diddy parties and all this other stuff, because I think that there is some level of conspiracy possibly here. I'm not saying for sure. I'm just going to say that that it really concerns me. Okay. So the fact that Biden will meet with the Diddies and the Cardis and the Glorillas and the Lizzos, but won't meet with the Dr. Claude Andersons, he won't meet with the Cynthia McKinneys, he won't meet with the folks in the black community that are really trying to do something positive, that right there tells me that the fix is really in. All right. So in my view, I don't just believe it. I can see, you see the evidence all around you. You see where Diddy will take the lead. He will take control of the car and then drive the car off a cliff. I remember him saying, if you don't do this, this, and this, then black people won't give you, we're going to withhold our vote. But then next thing you know, he backpedals off of all of that and says, no, we got to make sure Trump doesn't get in office, even though we got 1,000 pictures of Diddy with Trump. Diddy loved Trump. He hung out with Trump on many occasions. He was buddies with Trump. But suddenly it's all about, like, we got to keep Trump out of office. So everybody make sure you show up and rock the vote, right? This is nonsense. This is nonsense. So, how does that relate to the Lizzo stuff? Well, if you think about this recent fundraiser, and they made a lot of money. I guess I kind of get it why Lizzo would be at the fundraiser, because she's an entertainer and she entertained people. I'm sure a big lady twerking is extraordinary comedy for those in attendance. But at the same time, it does sort of lead you to kind of wonder, why is it that there is no white version of Lizzo? Well, I'm going to ask you a simple question. Can you name the white Lizzo? Who is the white Lizzo? I'm going to give you a second to process that and ask yourself this question. Who's the white Lizzo? Who's the white Cardi B? Is there a white Cardi B? Can you think of the white Cardi B? I'm talking about a woman who's just as famous as Cardi B, just as famous as Lizzo, who does the same stuff. There is none. There is none. This is reserved for African Americans. African Americans are the laughing stock of the freaking planet. African Americans are a community that's been trying to run forward. The problem is that you're not moving forward because you're running on a treadmill. Because the white supremacy controls this treadmill, and you start running and you think you're running forward because you're like, look at me, I'm getting money, I'm so successful. But are you really successful, Lizzo? Are you successful? You're obese, you're embarrassing your family, you sound depressed. Is that really success? That's not success, sweetheart. That's not success. You just got a couple of dollars in your pocket. You're getting sued by everybody left and right. They're saying terrible things about you. Anybody read that lawsuit? The stuff that these women were saying Lizzo was making them do? I will just tell you, I don't believe Lizzo's quitting. I believe Lizzo's going to come right back. She's going to have a new album within a year. I wouldn't be surprised by that. Mark my word. Let's see if I'm right. Let's see if I'm right. My best guess is that Lizzo will have another album coming out in the next few months. I believe that her statement was one driven to give her sympathy so that she can jump back into the victim seat, because she went from being the victim to becoming the perpetrator when she started getting sued. She went from being the underdog to being the powerhouse. She went from being the oppressed to becoming, quote unquote, the man. When that lawsuit, they were like, no, Lizzo is our oppressor. That's how they laid out that lawsuit. So when Lizzo comes out in victim mode, let me know if y'all getting what I'm saying. But this statement puts her back in victim mode. Like, oh, it's so sad. The world hates me. Everybody makes fun of me because everybody hates big girls. And it's really terrible for us out here because people are so mean to us. And so by being in victim mode, you get that moral high ground of being the victim. And the victim can't really be the perpetrator anymore, which has an impact on how these lawsuits and her public image is perceived. Because remember, she was gone for a long time. She was out of the public eye since those lawsuits erupted. She disappeared. Next thing you know, Lizzo's back. She's performing before the president. And then right after she performs for the president, she performed actually before three presidents, if I'm not mistaken. They raised a lot of money at this thing. Then suddenly she issues this statement, I'm going to quit because I'm so sad, blah, 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 blah. And then people are like, no, Lizzo, don't quit. Don't quit. We love you. We love you. We love you, girl. Don't quit. Don't. Oh, no, Lizzo's going to quit. Well, then she says, okay, I'm going to do this for my fans. I'm going to put out another album. It'll be out July 3rd. Right? In fact, I don't even believe that it's going to be like in the next year that her album will come out. I believe it'll be by the fall. So mark my word, look around, keep your eyes open, and I want you to look for the release of the new Lizzo album, because she is coming back, or an album, a tour, a book, a movie. It's going to be something. So anyway, do me a favor. Please hit the thumbs up button. Thumbs up, share, subscribe. You're watching DrBoyceTV.com, the home for intelligent black people. My name is Dr. Boyce Watkins. And I want to remind everybody that every morning we do financial consciousness training. And that is where we heighten our financial intelligence, our financial consciousness. If you want to get all the archive trainings that we've done, you can get lifetime access to everything by going to DrBoyceDaily.com. Or you can also text the word money to 87948. If you text money to 87948, I'll send you a training, how to make money without working. I'm a finance professor, so I'm not some guy on the internet making things up. There are a lot of online gurus that lie to you, that will take your money and don't know what they're talking about. They've been a financial expert for about 3 weeks. I've taught at Syracuse University, Indiana University, the Ohio State University, and the University of Kentucky in finance. I know what I'm talking about. And so in the Black Business School, we're very, very good at what we do. So just text the word, just try us out. Text the word money to 87948, and I guarantee you your income will go up, your family wealth will go up, because I believe that if we have more financial security in our community, we won't have to sell our souls to have money. See, what you got to understand is that the number one reason they control you in hip-hop and in all these crazy industries where they got you out here acting a damn fool and embarrassing yourself is that you have not mastered your economics. You do not know how to make money without selling out, without doing what they tell you to do, without doing all these ridiculous things that we have entertainers doing. And this is not Black excellence, y'all. This is not Black success. This is not us being our best. This is not us fulfilling Dr. King's dream or anybody's dream. You know what Dr. King's dream is, in my opinion, what it should be? It should be related to family. Strong Black family should be our dream. Stable, secure little Black girls that can grow up knowing that they don't have to sell their bodies for money. That should be the dream. Little Black boys growing up with intelligence and education and knowing how to solve a damn problem so they can provide and protect for somebody. That should be the dream. You know, you not having to go and get on your knees for Mr. Charlie every day to make ends meet. That should be the dream. You not having to do all those things, you being able to live on your feet and really be secure and still be strong and still be stable and have what you want without having to beg, without having to embarrass yourself, without having to compromise your values. That should be the dream. That's the dream. That's my dream. That's what I want. And I can just tell you, when I think about poor Lizzo, and I say poor Lizzo because my heart goes out to her. She's not my enemy. I don't hate her. I know the white media likes to say, this Black man hates this young Black woman. He's just beating up on this Black woman. No. I protect and defend Black women. That's what I do. And at the end of the day, this is nothing but Willie Lynch. This is we're going to turn the Black man and the Black woman against each other so that we can conquer them both. So as a Black man, I already knew, as an intelligent Black man who's not going to go along with your mainstream nonsense, who's not going to, you know, who, if Lizzo's my daughter, I'm not going to encourage her to go to a Diddy party so she can get an opportunity, because I'm a Black man who's going to question everything that you're telling these young people to do, then I know I'm going to be vilified. I know these things. I don't expect them to look at me and say, oh, wow, we really like you, Dr. Watkins. You're really an asset to the community. Well, why? Well, because that is in complete contradiction to the agenda that you've already set for these poor kids. You got poor Lizzo out here sounding like she's ready to unlist herself from life, you know, out here depressed, sad, obese, putting herself out here in this world where the STDs are rampant. Y'all know the STDs are out of control. Judge Joe Brown was talking about in Memphis. He said that in Memphis, they took an HIV test of all the Black men that went into the penitentiary, all the men that went to prison. They found that about 4 to 5% of them had HIV when they went to jail. They took the same test of these men 14 months later when they got out of jail. And they said that if you were in jail for 14 months or longer, your percentage of HIV infection went from 4 to 5% to about 65%. 65%. And he said what was really crazy is that these poor guys, these guys would get out of jail and they would have these women that wanted to be with them, these women that were fighting for their men without knowing that, according to Judge Joe Brown, he said that if you were in jail for 14 months or longer, there's a 92% chance that that male has either voluntarily or involuntarily had intercourse with another man. That's what he said. And he did this on I Never Knew TV. You should go watch this interview. Judge Joe Brown is a guy that I know well, and I've spoken on many occasions, and he is an absolute genius, and he is a person that unapologetically loves and supports the Black community. And he's exactly the kind of person that the Democratic Party is going to vilify, because he's going to speak a truth that people aren't used to. So I really think that at some point we're going to have to snap out of it. At some point we're going to have to stop thinking that up is down and down is up. At some point we're going to have to stop thinking that unhealthy is healthy and that healthy is wrong. At some point we have to understand that being educated and intelligent and making good choices is a good thing, and that somehow we've been misled into looking up to hip hop artists because somebody put a couple dollars in their pocket and some white man put them on TV. And half these bastards ain't nothing but a pack of degenerates. Pack of degenerates. You know, not every one of them. Not every one of them. I'm going to say this. I worked extensively with Russell Simmons on one project. In 2013, Russell Simmons and I worked on a mass incarceration project where he used his celebrity power to get a lot of black folks out of prison. We pressured the Obama administration to do something they'd never done, which was to change their incarceration policy. It happened in 2013. I did my part. I got all the scholars and the leaders to sign the letter. I wrote a letter to the president. I got everybody to sign the letter, all the scholars and the leaders. He got all the entertainers, all the way from the Lil Waynes to the Justin Biebers to Will and Jada to everybody across the board. And it worked. We put pressure on the White House. Russell and I got them to change their policy. They did not like it. They fought it every step of the way. They fought it tooth and nail. They did not enjoy the idea of black people standing up for something, but we stood firm. And I was looking at Russell to see how he was going to deal with the pressure he was getting. I don't trust every celebrity. Some celebrities are very flimsy. Dr. Claude Anderson has met with Diddy. Diddy called him about Powernomics. He flew out there to Diddy's office. Diddy didn't follow through. From what I understand from Dr. Anderson, Diddy did no follow through. He just did what he normally does, which is a bunch of yapping and didn't follow through. I cannot say that about Russell. Russell did what he said and said what he did, and I was very impressed by that. So, again, I don't know nothing about Russell's other lifestyle. I don't know nothing about no allegations. I don't know nothing about any of that. I can only speak for what I know, and here's what I know. In this particular picture, I've never met with this other guy, Lennox Lewis, but I met the other four I've had some interacting with. So Russell, we did the incarceration campaign. He stood firm. When they put pressure on him, he stuck to his guns. I was very impressed, very proud of him for doing that. He got a lot of people out of jail with that. Diddy, I mentioned that the story with Dr. Claude Anderson. According to Dr. Anderson, Diddy did not follow through. Diddy just did a bunch of yapping like he always does, and then nothing really happened. LL Cool J, I only talked to LL one time. We talked on the phone for about 5 minutes because he had a controversy and he asked my advice. I gave him my advice and I was impressed because he went on a TV show. I saw him on Jay Leno or something where he was responding to the controversy and he said exactly what I told him to say. And I was very impressed with the way LL handled it. LL, I don't know anything else about him. I just know he's a smart guy. Al Sharpton is an absolute genius. I spent many, many hours next to Al Sharpton. We've talked a lot. We did not see eye to eye politically because once I got closer to the radius of power, once I got closer to the center of all this, I began to feel very uncomfortable with what I was seeing. I saw a game that appeared to be quite rigged. I saw a scenario where I felt like black people were really being duped. And it was something that did not sit right with my spirit because it leaned against the idea of us really trying to make progress for our community as opposed to people accumulating wealth and power on their own behalf while using the pain of the black community in order to do that. So that's when I kind of went in my own direction where I said, you know what, really what we need, what black people really need is we need independent wealth and power. Because if we have independent wealth and power and institution building ability, then we don't have to go and kiss the pinky ring of the master in order to get a couple dollars in our pocket, in order to get a couple little opportunities. We also need to stop looking up to most of these goofy ass rappers. Half of them are stupid. Half of them are degenerates. Bunch of them are alcoholics, drug addicts, sex addicts, all kinds of stuff. And you looking up to these men and you're overlooking the quality men in your community. I met today with a young brother out of Oakland, 45 years old. He was an IT consultant, a wife he's been married to for 18 years and 3 beautiful children. He takes care of his mother-in-law. He owns property out in California. He has hundreds of thousands of dollars in home equity. And we were talking about investment strategies. And I told him, he said, Dr. Boyce, I admire you so much. I said, nah, man, you are my hero. You are the black leaders that I'm looking for. You are the ones that are going to get us out of this mess. See, we can't, you can hear a celebrity talk about how they're going to change the whole black community and then they don't do nothing. I ain't trying to listen to nobody talking about how they're going to change the whole black community. I want to know, are you going to change your family? Are you going to change your little neighborhood? Are you going to change yourself? Those are the people that I believe are going to make the difference in the world. Not these worthless, toothless celebrities so busy holding a liquor bottle and shining at a white party that they ain't got time to do nothing for nobody. And it's not even their fault that they aren't a good fit for the description. It's really our fault. It's our fault for allowing white-owned companies like BET to tell us what our culture is supposed to be. This is the culture. Who the hell said that's supposed to be my culture? Ain't a damn thing I see on BET representative of my culture. None of it. Not one bit of it. That's your damn culture. That's loser culture. That's bum culture. That's sex addict, drug addict culture. That's slave culture. So you can call that your culture, but that ain't my culture. Because you look at that, seriously, ain't nothing fancy about no Diddy white party, except for the fact that everybody's wearing white, everybody's pulling up in fancy cars, everybody looks like they got wealth, and their money is what distracts you from the fact that 9 times out of 10, you're looking at people that are not high quality human beings. You're not looking at people that truly are going to do the work required for our community to develop and evolve and grow. There are some exceptions, though. Again, you can't put everybody in the same bucket. I told you honestly about my experience working with Ice Cube. I was very impressed with his consistency on the political front. But at the same time, what Ice Cube also understood and what Russell understood, which Charlamagne understood, I worked with him as well on some stuff, is they understand how to play their position. They understand the roles that they're qualified for and the roles that they're not qualified for. So what I liked about Cube and Russell and Charlamagne is they were smart enough to consult with the experts in the community when they were shaping policy. They would call the lawyers. They would call the teachers. They would speak out to those who are involved in politics to get their consultation. Diddy and Sharpton, these are the types of guys that'll show up and try to be the expert in all things black. They'll show up and really almost to the point where they just sort of try to take positions they're not qualified for. And really, truth be told, I don't think everything Diddy did was terrible. I don't think everything he did was bad. But I think at the same time, though, the trust is not there. And so how does this relate to the stuff like the Lizzo stuff? Well, I think the same thing is true with Lizzo. Lizzo isn't just a performer. Lizzo is part of a movement. She represents this sort of liberated feminist energy that so many people feel. And I think that that's fine. I think that we've treated women horribly. And I think that we have to acknowledge that. I think that some of y'all men out here talking crazy about black women, y'all need to stop. You need to be a real fucking man and learn how to just be a strong man and realize you can be a strong man without bashing women, tearing them down, telling them they're going to die alone, telling them that what they're doing is wrong. You ain't got to do all that. But what is going on here, though, is we know that some of this stuff that they're teaching us, we're just taking cues and taking leads from the people that control media, the people that have all the money. And when we take cues from these people, we end up embarrassing ourselves. We end up sitting still, not moving forward because we're not taking a moment to reflect and take full account of exactly how much progress we really think that we've actually made. How much progress do you really think that you're making when your whole community appears to be full of a bunch of twerking ass single mothers whose sons are out killing each other in the street because they don't have a daddy at home? Seriously, like what in the world, on what planet does that even look like a community that is progressive or getting ahead in the world? You know, really. So I really think that black women should be heard for sure. But the women that I'm going to listen to the most are the women that are really, really concerned about the community. And that doesn't even include people like Candace Owens. We talked about Candace Owens before. Candace Owens, she's a critic of Lizzo and all that. And she says things that make sense. But one of the things I've always said is I said, I don't understand how Candace Owens has anything to say about the black family. You didn't even take the time to build one. How the hell are you going to be some sort of leader, authority, or critic of the black family, and you ain't even got a black family? You did what Lizzo did. You married a rich white boy from London. You married a rich white boy whose daddy was in parliament, who had millions of dollars, and you got up cozy with Donald Trump. Then you got up cozy with Ben Shapiro so that they can give you a big platform so you could get ahead. That's the easy route. I've seen that before because white males have more access to the halls of white male power than black men do. I can't get my wife. I love my wife, but there's not many places in the halls of white power that I could give my wife access to. So when she married me, she knew she was going to be in the struggle. And so she had to be ready for that. But fortunately, she loved me enough. She loves me enough that she's willing to put up with all the setbacks and all the challenges that come with being black. And, you know, we're built for this. Some of y'all, and I respect all of y'all because I know you're built for this, because that's why you're here. That's why you're listening. I respect you because you know that when you're black, it is a little bit tougher. You know that you have a little bit less. You have to be a little bit smarter, sharper, more prepared. You got to work a little bit harder. And that's all right, though, because the reward for work being sharp and working hard and preparing is that you have the opportunity to build an infrastructure that will liberate your children from having to go out and become the next Lizzo in order to make a couple dollars. Your little daughter ain't going to have to go whore herself in order to pay the rent. Your son ain't going to have to take penitentiary chances and get shot in the face just so he can make $5. You're making good choices. You're putting your children in a situation where they're not going to be economically desperate. And because of that, I commend you, because I know it's much, much harder to build something new than it is to simply lean on something that already exists. And that's pretty much what you're seeing. You see people that just go run and play for the winning team. Candace runs off and finds a husband whose daddy got some money so she can raise up and get a big platform in the Republican Party. Lizzo runs off and says, I'm going to go and be a big old elephant twerking in front of white people so I can make a whole lot of money and whatever. And that's their right. They can do that. But to me, those are the easy routes to so-called success. But that's not even success. That's not success, because then you get caught in a trap. Lizzo's trap is that now she's forced to constantly maintain this clown show in order to make her core audience happy. Candace's failure is that Candace is now being pimp slapped by her oppressors because she decided to be honest about what's happening over in Israel. She decided to say, hey, wait, maybe it isn't right that they're going over here slaughtering tens of thousands of people, you know, over one attack that took over 1,000 lives. Maybe it's not right to kill them in a 20-to-1 ratio or in the blow up women and children and all this other stuff. I mean, she's saying things that actually make sense, but she doesn't understand that when the massa talks, you better shut the fuck up and listen. When massa tells you what to do, you better follow suit. You better get in line, girl. You don't get in line. Oh, we will take you back to the back of the barn and beat you down like we did every other person that decided they wanted to deviate from the plan. This ain't your plan. This ain't your power. You have proximity to power. You're near power, but you don't really have the power. Right. So really, maybe long term, maybe Candace will evolve. I have no idea. I don't think that every single idea that she has is always bad. But I will say to you, at the end of the day, we've seen this game played before. And the game is, how do I get next to some particular white person, whether they are a Democrat or a Republican, so I can quickly accumulate power and access to resources, because I don't want to do the fucking work. Right. I don't want to do the work to develop a platform. So I'm going to go get in alignment with the Democratic Party, kiss their butt, follow their rules so that they'll prop me up, or I'll go align with the Republican Party so that Donald Trump and his cronies will prop me up, or I'm going to go align with corporate America and the music industry and go to a few Diddy parties and embarrass my family. And then I'm going to get opportunities to be on stage and make money so I can give the illusion of success, the illusion of power. And it's an illusion of success and it's an illusion of power, because it does come with money, but the money's temporary. It also comes with access to big platforms, but those are not your platforms. So it's not real power. It's the proximity to power. But let me just tell you this again, I'm going to just be honest with you. Whatever little power I have, that's real power. There is no puppet master behind me that gets to tell me what to say, when to say it, what to do, and how to do it. There's nobody there. It took time. It was a lot more work. I had to be smarter. I had to be more creative. I had to use my resources more efficiently. But the infrastructure that we've built, for example, in the Black Business School, that's our infrastructure. My PhD is 100% real. Ain't nothing fake over here with that. So what I would just say to you at the end of the day is, get real power. Don't get the fake stuff, because the fake stuff, when it fleets, when it disappears, it takes you right back. You turn into a pumpkin, and then you realize that you were never a princess or a king or queen in the first place. And I really want you to have real power. I want you to know what that feels like, and it's all within your grasp. I just encourage you to understand that wealth is really the key to making that happen, because when you have financial security, you don't have to do desperate things to get money. And that's what the whole, without money, if you take away the money, there is no Lizzo. The money is the motive. The money is the driving force. The money, financial desperation is the number one reason for 95% of all the coonery and buffoonery that we see on TV. If you take away the money, the buffoonery does not exist. That's it. That's my two cents, guys. I'm out of here. I wish Lizzo the best. I hope that she feels better. All right, so do me a favor. Please hit the thumbs up button. Thumbs up, share, subscribe. Also, if you go to drboycebooks.com, we do have a lot of great stuff on Black Wealth Mastery. We have a whole gigantic catalog of all kinds of stuff, from flashcards for children to digital programs to books. My new book is called The 10 Commandments of Black Economic Power. It's a bestseller. Thank you guys for supporting that. And also, if you go to drboycebooks.com, you can find find study guides on everything from financial anxiety to all kinds of stuff. My wife's stuff's up there. You know, my wife is a therapist. She's a full professor of social work, and she actually trains therapists. We're actually going to go to Panama next week for a conference. She's going to present her research there. She's one of the best scholars on earth at what she does. So shout out to all the intelligent Black women who make us better. So have a good day, everybody. Please hit the thumbs up button. Thumbs up, share, subscribe. Also, if you'd like to receive a list of stocks that I like in terms of AI stocks that I'm invested in, just text the word stock to the number 87948. Text stock to 87948. Also, if you go to Spotify or Apple, look up my name, Boyce Watkins. You can find this podcast on Spotify and Apple. So have a good day, everybody. God bless you. And if I said something that's incorrect or wrong or that you disagree with, then that's okay. We can disagree and still be friends. I hope that that's okay. So have a good night, everybody. God bless you. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you 100% always. Peace.
Here we are, clan the isms, cataclysm great. Our people out here struggling, trying to make it in this state. Everybody out here doing it, but we the ones who late. Now family, we the ones who gotta delegate. Get that money in the power, never be fake. Stick to cosign for three, what did he say? Create jobs, support our own. Educate the same and buy back your home. Got 3 degrees, triple 10. 3 PhDs, now we on the CNN. DBTV, let's talk about negligence. Ignorance is blissful, we can turn it to intelligence. Please, none of what you hear, half of what you see. Let's break it down here on Dr. Boyce TV. Here we are.